Please open your Bibles. We're going to look today at Romans chapter 5 from verse 12 to verse 21 as we continue looking through the book of Romans together on Sunday mornings. Romans chapter 5 from verse 12 to verse 21. One man came in the name of love, one man come and go. Bono wrote that in 1984. Some of you are smiling. But I wonder, do you know what it's really about? The story is that Bono wanted to write a song that condemned President Ronald Reagan at the time for his proud attitude about nuclear weapons. So the websites tell me. But he didn't manage to write that song, so he ended up writing a song about Martin Luther King, and it refers to the date that things happened to Martin Luther King. But the song's slightly confused because it says, one man he came to justify. And then another line is, one man betrayed with a kiss. And so you can see in U2's song from 1984 that Bono was mixing two people together in some way. He wasn't, we're not sure what's about Jesus, what's about Martin Luther King. And it doesn't help us to be confused about what one man did or which one is the most useful one for us to put our trust in. And I was just looked into that this week because I was thinking of what one man meant and which one man we really need to focus our attention on. And Paul tells us about one man, but he tells us about one man twice, so he tells us about two men. One man is Adam and the other man is Christ, and he compares what each of them have brought as he tells us what we find we have. And so what's important for us today, what you need to figure out today, is which one man are you living under? Which one man is your king? Because that's what we find we have here. The Bible works in things called covenants, and we are either under the covenant of works through Adam, which brings sin and death because we haven't kept our side of the bargain, or we're under the covenant of grace in Jesus Christ, which he is the head, and we've been shown God's grace and live in that way. So it is really, this is very useful stuff for us to recognize what's happened and what's happened to us. It's very useful for us to recognize what we need to do in response to it. Are we under Adam or are we under Christ? So we look at Adam first of all, because Paul deals with him first. He deals with both all the way through, but I just want to look at what Adam brought and then what Jesus Christ has brought. And what we see that Adam brought is everything bad. Sin entered the world through one man. The story of Adam is that God made Adam and placed him in the perfect garden to enjoy the blessings and privilege of everything good. You read the story in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, and you read that God told Adam that he could eat of any of the trees in the garden, apart from one tree. God commanded him not to eat from one tree, and if he did eat from that one tree, God said, then you will surely die. So Adam brought in sin, and because he disobeyed the command, he also brought in death. What Adam did has resulted in death. It's resulted in death for everybody, and we'll see that as we go through. So Adam was told, you're free to do everything apart from this tree. And you see that what Adam did has transferred right down to us. We speak to toddlers. We've got toddlers in our life and our family. And one of them, whenever he's about to do anything bad, he sort of closes his eyes and looks at you, and then he goes and does the bad thing. He just does it. He knows what he's doing. You tell you're not allowed to do that, he goes and does it. And we don't need to keep looking at toddlers because we struggle to drive within the confines of the law. We struggle to pay our taxes within the confines of what we're told to do and not to do. We struggle with law, and with not just civil laws, but with God's laws. We all struggle with them. And so death comes to us in this way. In this way, death came to all men because all sinned, he's telling us. Paul agrees with this. We can see it that as he moves on, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, you can see it on the page there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Death comes to us because we have all sinned in Adam. And Paul proves that because he takes us through a theological point that you maybe think you don't need to know, but you do need to know. Between Adam and Moses, between the first man sinning and then the law being given, there was lots of people. You could read some unpronounceable names in the first chapters of Genesis where we are brought to Noah and then from Noah. See, we get the story of Noah and the flood in between the bit where Adam fell and where God gave the command. Now, why did the flood come? It's because God was disappointed and angry with what he saw, and he didn't want this kind of people living on the earth, so he sent a flood to punish. And all these people died. And who was the captain of the boat? It was Noah himself. And what happened to Noah? Noah also died. Everybody between Adam and Moses died before the law came. And that's what he tells us, that what Adam brought has made us all subject to the consequences of what Adam brought, that we all die. I heard in the news yesterday that 15 Syrian refugees were found frozen to death near the border. Their couriers, their traffickers had left them to die. Why did they die? Why did they die? Because they're human. Because they're like you and me, because they have inherited from Adam what Adam got for them, the wages of sin, which is death. This is why we all die. Now, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Now, you might not like hearing that, but you might want some proof of it. And so we say the easiest way to prove we're all sinners is that we just look at what we've done. We have done things that are wrong. We have used God's name in the wrong way. We have abandoned any idea that we need to keep a special day for him. We have not obeyed our parents. We have stolen. We have lied. We've been jealous. We've done everything wrong. And so there's lots of evidence. But that's not really what Paul is saying here. He is saying that we've all sinned in Adam in a different way. I belong to a family called the Ross family. And the Ross family have a trait that I've inherited. When we haven't seen each other for a couple of years, and we go into a room and we see each other, we say something like, "What a ridiculous jumper." Or, "Your hair is awful." I do it. And I noticed that, for example, Charlie's hair, the first thing my uncle, who hadn't seen him for a number of years, said to him was something about his hair. We do this. And so any baby born into the Ross family is going to be born an insulter. That's the way it works. Now, you might think we could change that, but it seems to be something we just do. You might like to think we could change the fact that we are sinners, but it is something that we do. We are born in iniquity and sin. We're going to finish our worship this morning singing Psalm 51. David recognizes he was born a sinner. Even before we sinned, we are sinners. Do you understand that we have inherited this from our family line? And so we can't change it. You imagine Adam was the first guy to come along to a cup of water, and he put a bit of black food colouring into the water. Well, the water might not go black, it would go grey. And if we had that cup of water just now, and we could say, well, this water's been around for thousands of years, and Adam contributed a bit of grey into it. Has it gone away? Is the water still grey? No, the water's black now. The water's really black because everybody else who has come along has added their own bit into it as well. So we are born sinners, but we have you see in job applications on job adverts that you've got to have a proven ability to do something. We have a proven ability to sin. We have a track record in it. We can't escape it. We are born in that way. And so what happens because of that? Well, it means that we receive the penalty. And the penalty is that we are condemned. Look at verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one man's trespass was condemnation for all men. It's condemnation. So it moves from just death, that we, you know, we can look at the newspaper adverts and see that somebody has died suddenly, but peacefully, or whatever it is, and we die in that way. But what happens after is that we might be condemned, that we receive the penalty for what sin deserved, and that is the wrath of God. And Paul has been telling us about the wrath of God. He's telling us we need to be saved by God, we need to be justified, because there's a day of wrath coming. So we can't escape this time of wrath. So we need then something else. Now, you might like to say, I am not of Adam. I'm not of Adam. Please don't give me this, that I am responsible to God because I'm from Adam's line. You might say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that I have inherited this. And so you might come up with some sort of proof that satisfies you that you are not of Adam's line. You want to say instead, you are an individual. You do what you want. You are not told what to do by anybody, but you stand up for yourself and you do what you want. And that includes God. You are an individual. If you manage to prove that you are not from Adam's line, by saying these things, you've proved that you're just like Adam, that you would shake your fist at God, that you would know that there is a God who wants you to do something, and you say no, then you're just like him. So we can't escape being like Adam, born in iniquity and sin. We can't escape the consequences of sin in any other way than by the next man that came. So we need to be like the next man, and he is Jesus Christ. So all that is good came through Jesus Christ. And you can read about him from verse 15. The gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? So this gift that God has sent is a gift that is just bursting out, that we might receive it, that we might all be changed by it. It is one man who came, and we have to be under this one man, but we can be changed, completely changed, by being under all of his gift. Now, the gift we can see is a wonderful gift. The gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. One man's sin brought death to all. And then what happened is that there was the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. It wasn't just Adam that sinned. I sinned. It brought many trespasses. Can you count even your own individual sin? If we were to gather up all the sins that were in this room, we would find that we couldn't count that high. If you look at what's going on in the world, we see that the world is a broken and perverse world where bad things happen. And it's been historic. And so after many, many trespasses, after God should be angrier and angrier, God sends instead a gift, and it is one man who he sends, and it is a gift that brings justification. It makes us in the right with God, having been in the wrong with God. So we were deserving of an unavoidable curse. That's what was coming to us. And now we get a gift. It is God's grace. It's God giving us this great free thing that we can't buy, but that we really need. Paul's told us already in this chapter, and we read it today, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He sends the gift before we're ready to receive it. He sends the gift when we're in the wrong standing, and that gift transforms us. Well, what difference does the gift make? The gift makes to us that it brings us so many things. It brings us justification. It brings God's abundant provision of grace and of the righteous and of the gift of righteousness reigning in our life through Jesus Christ. The gift brings all these things. Somebody owed me £384.64. I was quite keen to get it back, so I sent them an email saying, "You owe me £384.64. They sent me an email back saying, "Thank you.
I've paid it and I've rounded it up. Wow. Generosity. What's it, £370, £400, £500, £1,000? £384.65 was mine. An extra penny. They rounded it up. Generosity. Okay. I want you to think of the generosity of Jesus Christ, the generosity of God and what he has given you. Has God not just given you what you deserve? Has he just taken that away from you and given you something that's a little bit better? Has he given you, just taken away your sins? Has he just taken away the punishment of death? Has he just taken away the condemnation or the wrath? No, he has given us so much more. And so we can have, instead of all of that, we can have a gift of righteousness reigning in our lives. And that's what it comes down to. Question for you. What is king in your life? What reigns in your life? Now, I would like to think that the answers around this room will be family reigns in my life. Work reigns in my life. Helping others reigns in my life. And we think along these lines. What is king in my life? But Paul's just allowing us to have two answers here. Adam reigns, so death and condemnation is coming. Or Jesus reigns, and Jesus brings justification. Jesus brings much more, the abundant provision of grace. Jesus brings righteousness. Jesus brings everything that I need. And how did he do it? Well, he moves on. Verse 19, for just as the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. How did Jesus do it? Obedience. Obedience. We want the children to be obedient. We forget we need to be obedient ourselves. Obedience is a good word to remind ourselves of. Not because it's that we're trying to earn salvation that way, but it's because it's what God wants. God wants our obedience. Obedience to what? Well, Jesus, you look at his life and he was the good little boy. He was not the rebellious teenager. He was not the man who did what he wanted, except that all that he wanted to do was to glorify his Father in heaven. He says he doesn't do his own will, but the will of the one who sent me. But he bends his will. He submits in obedience to doing what God wants. So Paul is able to say about Jesus later on, as he quotes perhaps his own hymn or another hymn, that Jesus Christ was obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, through obedience, has made it possible for us to be made righteous through his obedience. Well, how is that? Do you understand how that is? If you don't understand how that is, it's because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is counted as ours if we would come to him. That all that we've done wrong is punished on the cross, and all that Jesus has done right is given to us as a gift at the same time, that we are given God's generous gift of righteousness. And we can have that through Jesus Christ. You might ask, as you get to verse 20, the law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. The question comes then a little bit later. Why has he written this? Why is he telling us about the law now? He's telling us about the law, we think, because there's lots of people who might say, as the Jews especially, they'd say, God punished, Adam, and then after that what happened was the flood came. But then the law came, and since the law came, hey, we've been better than anyone. You can't punish us since the law came. But it just makes us aware. Don't know, 15 years ago when mobile phones just came out, you saw somebody driving along on their mobile phone. Well, maybe it's 20 years ago now. It's 25 years ago probably. Okay, we saw somebody 25 years ago on their mobile phone. We thought, wow. Look at that guy driving his Merc on his mobile phone. I wish I was like him. Now we see somebody in their Kia driving, sorry if you've got a Kia, in their driving on their mobile phone, and we go, that's awful. That's awful. How do we know it's awful? Because the law's been changed and the law has shown us how bad it is. And so the law shows us just how bad we are. It makes us aware of the many trespasses. But that's our problem. But it's not an insurmountable problem to God that just because you know how bad you are, it means God can't save you. Because where sin increased, that's what happens as we become more aware of sin. Sin increases. We start to say, that's a sin. That's a sin. I need to stop that. I can't stop that. God will be angry with me for that. What am I going to do? But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. We sing that sometimes. And that's the truth, and it's something that we need to know. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why has God sent Jesus? What does God want you to be and to have? Well, last week we saw all the different things that justification brought. We have peace, we have hope, we have joy, we have the removal of God's wrath, we have been justified, we can know God and all of these things. But why, God, did you do this? So also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has saved us so that we would be with him forever. How is the consequence of what Adam did really turned around? No longer would we be condemned, having died, but we would be alive, having been justified, having been made right with God in Jesus Christ. We would have eternal life through, from, in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's him that brings it to us. So again, we return to the question that I said we need to answer at the start, and that is to know who is our head. Who are we living under? How can we be people who, we know that death is coming as a consequence unless Jesus returns, but how can we be people who have eternal life through Jesus Christ? This passage on its own doesn't really make that as clear as other places, but it is helpful. We're in Romans, so we understand it has to be by faith, by people believing in Jesus Christ. That's all that's required, not what we offer, nothing good that we offer ourselves, not where we've come from, but by believing. And how can we show that we've believed? Well, let's read verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Death came to all men, and through Jesus Christ, salvation is available for all men. But verse 17 helps us see what we need to do. And we are responsible before God for doing this. We need to receive. We need to receive. We need to take what God is offering us. And we do that just by going to him, asking him to give it to us, thanking him for sending it. It's good I organized that. We need this to be given to us. And if you haven't asked God for it, please just ask God to give you justification, to take away your sins and give you eternal life through Jesus Christ. Please just ask him to do that. And if you've got questions about it, if you don't understand what it means, if you think, well, I am under Adam and I don't know how to get away from this, then please speak to me or another believer and ask them for their help to show you the way. Let's pray.